I'm John Batchelor, Hotel Mars, Episode N. And in this instance, we welcome David Livingston, my colleague and co-pilot, because we're not traveling to Mars. David very much recommends a certain movie about Mars right now. We're traveling to the mystery of the planet, the dwarf planet sometimes called Ceres. David, a very good evening to you.
And good evening to you, John.
Ceres is in the news. Dawn is the NASA probe, and we're very pleased to welcome back to the program to update us on the Ceres revelations, Mark Raymond of Ceres, the boss of Ceres, the man who is here to calm down with all the hypotheses running around about this magical place called Ceres. We traveled there from Vespa, an earlier planet, where we had a proto-planet, something that had been made up of the primary substance of Earth, and we expected Ceres to be just a little bit more of it because it's large in the asteroid belt. It's turning out to be its own legend. I will begin with the breaking news. Mark, a very good evening to you. If it happens in Ceres, it stays in Ceres. What have you observed, discovered, about the peculiar nature of this dwarf planet? Good evening to you, Mark.
Good evening. Well, we're discovering many intriguing things about this mysterious place. One of them is, you can see in many of our pictures, there actually are more craters on Ceres than we expected there to be. We had thought that because we know Ceres has a large amount of ice, that over geological timescales, that is millions of years, these craters would gradually be erased as the ice flowed. Just like when you push on your skin and release the pressure, your skin returns to its original shape. And so one of the things we're trying to understand now is why there are more craters than we expected to see.
David?
Good evening, Mark. Nice to talk with you
again.
David.
Nice to hear your friendly
When the impact hit and the material seems to stay on Ceres and be absorbed, are we talking about impacts forming or in a crater only, or can there be impacts on the surface of Ceres that don't create a crater, and is that material also absorbed or dispersed or spread back up? Can you help explain that to us?
Sure. The idea is that an impact would form a crater, but that gradually, over a period of, say, millions of years, the material, the shape of that crater would gradually disappear. That is, the material would relax to its original shape. Is that answering your question?
Well, a part of it. So what's happening is the debris is accumulating layer after layer, and the craters are not disappearing or changing in shape.
That's right. And so why that is, maybe because Ceres is colder than we thought, maybe the composition is different from what we thought, but I was just bringing this up as one of the intriguing mysteries that you encounter when you go to a world that you've been studying from afar for two centuries but don't get to get a close-up until very recently.
You're getting closer and closer, too, because you're in a motion now to lower your orbit so we get better pictures. But I want to go to a previous revelation. This is Mark Raymond, who is the chief investigator, the chief scientist, the boss of the wonderful robot for NASA, Dawn. And Dawn's giving us mysteries. And an earlier mystery right away was the bright spots. Now, if I read correctly, Doctor, the bright spots are now associated with something like salt deposits. But if that's true, something like salt deposits, that suggests that there's an interior life to Ceres. Can we connect that interior mystery to this sponge-like nature of the surface, that we're looking at something that's inside that would absorb?
Well, that's part of what the science team is working on. The determination of the association of the bright spots with salt is not definitive. That's the hypothesis that the science team is investigating vigorously. But there are still other competing ideas or at least there's still some remaining uncertainty about what the real composition of these spots is. And that actually, to me, is the most interesting mystery so far about Ceres. These glowing regions that are just shining out into the cosmos. But if they're salt, then presumably it came about from subsurface water that's made its way to the surface. Then the water froze, became ice, and then sublimated, that is, went from being a solid to being a gas. So the ice, the water molecules escaped into space and left behind the materials that were dissolved in them. And that then, in this explanation, would be what's so bright, just like salt flats on Earth are bright. But whether it really is salt, and if it is, how the water made its way to the surface, all of those details we have yet to understand, but people are working hard on it.
David?
Mark, during the life of the mission and its remaining life, is it reasonable to think that the science team will be able to give us black and white answers to these mysteries, or do we learn to live with these mysteries until we return with better equipment and instruments to Ceres, or maybe someday down the road with humans to Ceres, and we just have to have a lot of patience and learn to live with it?
Well, that's actually a good question. I think the scientists will definitely give us better insight into what these spots are, but it may well be that we will not have a black and white answer. Just as an illustration, if it's determined that it's salts, we may not know specifically what kind of salts. You know, there are a lot of different salts besides table salt. And so establishing the specific composition, the actual chemical details, may not be within Dawn's capability. So I think we're certainly going to learn a lot more, but there will always be follow-up questions. And that, to me, is part of what makes the exploration so exciting.
There is one giant mountain on Ceres. Do we have a better understanding of why it's all by itself?
No, we don't. But describing it as all by itself is a good description. We sometimes call it the Lonely Mountain. It rises 20,000 feet from an otherwise unremarkable plain, and it's strangely steep and well-defined. That is, there doesn't seem to be much debris at the base. It just has steep slopes and then sticks right down into this otherwise unremarkable ground, but with bright streaks going down the slopes. So to an untrained eye, it looks very much like a volcanic cone. But the actual mechanism that formed it, what its real geology is still not clear, but we are right now, this month, taking pictures in stereo so we can get a better description of its actual shape. And then in December, when we get down to our final orbit, we'll be getting pictures four times better than the ones we're getting now.
David?
Mark, there's so much uniqueness and variety in the solar system across the board of every location, every planet, every dwarf planet, everything that we can think of. Is it possible that there would ever be an overriding theory of everything that science seems to search for, that it could explain this incredible variety around the solar system? Or are we dreaming or deluding ourselves that this can really be explained? I mean, it's just a miracle. Every time we open up a new project, we learn a million times more things, and it's all different.
Right. We're complaining, Mark. You're overwhelming us.
That's right. Well, I think that's an interesting question. It's almost a question of philosophy, but perhaps not quite. I think that all of the diversity in the solar system will be very well explained. Now, this is not like the physics-based theory of everything that's the explanation of the fundamental forces and particles in nature, which is actually one of my principal scientific interests. But I think there will be a good explanation for the nature of diversity in the solar system, because with all these different missions, each one adds a piece to the puzzle so that we can get an understanding of how you go from a large interstellar cloud of gas and dust to one that collapses and forms a sun at the center, and planets and debris at other locations. And I think that is well within the capability of the scientific method to understand in detail and to give us a good explanation of why the solar system is the way it is. It's not going to happen tomorrow, and it's probably not going to happen the day after tomorrow, but I think it is well within the reach of the scientific method.
Mark, final question, just quickly, 30 seconds. Vesta My memory is that it was presented as proto-Earth material. It could have been a planet, could have been, this could be what we're made up of. Is that true of Ceres as well?
Ceres seems to be very different, but bodies like Ceres may have contributed to the water that, or may have been part of the source of the water that we have on Earth, whereas Vesta would contribute more the rocky material.
Mark Raymond of NASA's Dawn, that's the name of the mission, that's the robot in orbit around the dwarf planet Ceres, David Livingston. David is of the space show, Dr. Space himself. Mark is very, very carefully the mission director and chief engineer for the Dawn mission. For all these mysteries, I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, episode 10.